Pick up where we stopped off last week. It's on YouVersion if you want to join us there as well. However you wish to, you can feel free. And let's see what happens. Now, this man who has gone down this quest, who has gone after pleasure with everything that he possibly has, let's see what it is that he has to report. He said, "I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. Let's look for the good things in life. But I found that this too was meaningless. So I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? After much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. And while still seeking wisdom, I clutched at foolishness. In this way, I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. I also tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. I made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. I built reservoirs to collect the water to irrigate my many flourishing groves. I bought slaves, both men and women, and others were born into my household. I also owned large herds and flocks, more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. I had collected great sums of silver and gold, the treasure of many kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. So I became greater than all who had ever lived in Jerusalem before me. And my wisdom, interesting phrase, my wisdom never failed me. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labors." Now, before we read on, I just want us to capture what it is that we've just listened to. This teacher, Solomon, has gone out, and he has gone after everything. After having a little bit of wine, of course. Just goes after it. He tries everything. He starts to build buildings. He builds and creates as much as he possibly can. He has all kinds of entertainment. He amasses slaves, and he tries to bring as much entertainment into his life as he can. He even has as many women. He has the choice of any woman that he wants. And he says these words, "He had everything that a man could desire." You see, for so many of us, we read that and we're going, that's what we want. That's the American dream. That's what we're told we're supposed to live. But any standard outside of Christianity, they would say that that's what we're supposed to be about. Get as much stuff as you can. Live life all that you can. Bring as much wealth into your world. Experience as much pleasure as you possibly can. And of course, when you retire, then you just kind of get to bask and revel in all of that, right? That's the way it works. And you laugh. Because we know that life doesn't work out that way. You see, the quester, it's interesting that he uses these words, that as I did all these things, there was still a sense of wisdom about me. An interesting phrase, that while so many people might look at what he's done and say, you have arrived, you have done exactly what we all hope to see take place, he goes after these things with wisdom. In other words, he goes after them with a sense of an investigative eye, with something intentional in mind. He goes after it with this question of, is this all there is to life? As I seek after pleasure, as I go after pleasure, is this all there really is? And Solomon comes to a conclusion. After experiencing all these things, after going after with all he has, he comes to a conclusion about all his endeavors. You know what he says? In verse 11, he says, "But I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, and it was all so meaningless, like chasing after the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere." His conclusion after going after everything, he says it's pointless. And it's not like we can fault the guy for like not going full tilt. I mean, he went after with everything he possibly had. He went after with all the gold, all the wealth, all that he had. He brought everything to himself. And yet in the midst of going after everything, there was a sense of feeling empty at the end of it all. Have you been there before? Have you experienced that with pleasure? I know I have. See, last week we had our board meeting. And as we were there, there was someone who brought this awesome paleo strawberry rhubarb dessert that was just fresh out of the oven. Oh, it was good. So we passed it around, and everybody got a helping of it. And I enjoyed it. It was just delightful as it just kind of sat in my stomach, and we sat through the meeting, and it was good. After the time was over, there were some left over. And I didn't want to burden this person with taking more of it home than what he needed to. And so I decided I was going to help myself to a second helping. I put in a little cup. I got in the car, and I'm driving home, and I sit out in our driveway, just wanted to eat it before I came in, because of course I didn't want to, you know, have the kids be tempted at all. So I'm eating out in the driveway, and as I am, first bite is good, second bite is starting to not feel so good, third bite is just didn't have that same sensation that I had when we were in the meeting, you know? All of a sudden, it just didn't taste as good. You see, I aspire to be a backpacker. An REI had this wonderful sale going on, and I waited for the sale because I decided I wanted to be a good steward of my money. And so I went in, and as a backpacker, of course, to really be a good backpacker, you got to have the right stuff, the right gear and the right equipment. And so I went out, and I bought a sleeping pad, and it was just this awesome ultralight sleeping pad. It was the thing that was truly going to make me be a backpacker. Well, I purchased it, got a screaming deal on it. And right now it's sitting growing dust in my house because I found that I have bursitis in my hip, and until that's taken care of, I'm not climbing anything. It was awesome, and it felt really good in the moment, but now it just gathers dust. You see, the problem with pleasures, the problem with stuff, is that it never truly satisfies. It never consistently satisfies. There's a billionaire, the first billionaire, John Rockefeller. And he was asked the question. The question was, how much is enough? And his response was, well, just a little bit more. That's how much is needed. See, the problem with seeking after pleasure alone is that it falls to the problem of diminishing returns. Diminishing returns is this idea is that when you do something the first time, it's great. You do it again, it lessens. You do it again, it lessens. And so, of course, there's a need to continue to pursue more of it just to get back to the baseline. And so we continue to pursue and pursue and pursue. And many of us know what that looks like in the realm of addictions, don't we? Whether it's drugs and alcohol, whether it's pornography, whatever it is in our lives, we know what it's like to be consumed by this need to continue to reach after that certain pleasure. See, another problem with pursuing pleasure as the only thing is that it becomes a form of idolatry. We end up becoming self-centered, self-seeking, and when we do that, we end up destroying joy. See, any time that we pursue something just by itself, it ends up destroying us because selfishness always destroys true joy. In our selfishness, we end up exploiting others. In our selfishness, we end up really destroying the relationships that we long to have so much. And so what do? Well, as good Christians, we recognize the hedonists out there, and they're pursuing all the pleasures of the world, and if it makes you happy, then it can't be that bad, and we see that going on, and so we do what we do so well as Christians so often, and we swing to the completely other side. And we say, I'm not experiencing any pleasures because pleasures are bad. And so we stay away from anything that could possibly look bad. We stay away from anything that could possibly be pleasurable in our lives. And you know, with good hearts, with good intentions, we go after these things, don't we? We want to be set apart. We see Scripture telling us to do this. And yet, in this pursuit of righteousness, in this pursuit of wanting to be holy, we find ourselves becoming legalists. And what can end up happening to us is that we start to find pleasure in seeing that other people aren't as far along in their walk as we are. We start to find pleasure in becoming the people that are right. And of course, the other people are wrong. But you see, the dilemma in all of this is that when we boil it down, the legalist and the hedonist end up having the very same problem. You see, the issue is this, that they're both driven by their self-centered ego. So what do? How is it that we're supposed to respond to these pleasures that come into our life? Well, the quester, gives us a little bit of a hint of what that's supposed to look like. Not only does he quest after those things, but if we continue to read in chapter 2, we could see that he continues to pursue pleasures, continues to pursue work, continues to pursue so many areas. And after it all, he pulls back and he takes a look at all that he has done. He pulls back and takes a look at all that has taken place in his life so far. And if you want to skip down to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 22, what we read is this. He says, "So I decided there's nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that these pleasures are from the hand of God. For who can eat or enjoy anything apart from him? God gives us wisdom and knowledge and joy to all those who please him. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes that wealth away and gives it to those who please him. This too is meaningless, like a chasing after the wind." Before we explore his response, one of the things I want us to notice is this. This is the first time in a long time that the quester brings up God. This is the first time in a long time that we see God enter back into the picture. And this is the first time, as we explore Ecclesiastes together, this is the first of six times that we will see the quester pull back long enough to wonder about, to conclude, to consider life above the sun. Maybe you've heard that phrase, "eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we're gonna die." Have you heard that before? They write songs about it. It's one of those great scriptures to pull out and say, hey, this is what the Bible says. I've seen it be used. I don't know if you've seen it be used, but this is the conclusion. This is what the Bible says, so we should pursue it. But the problem is that that is Solomon's conclusion under the sun. When we pull scripture out of context, it can bring all kinds of confusion. See, Solomon has so much more to say than simply eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we will die. He goes on to offer these words, this idea that we are to thank God for what we have and to enjoy it to the glory of God. We need to realize that the blessings are from God, but also the enjoyment of those blessings are a gift from God as well. You see, the answer isn't to avoid all kinds of pleasures. God is not some cosmic sadist who gets the angels together and says, "Now check this out. I'm going to make these people, and I'm just going to pack them full of all kinds of senses, and I'm just going to make this beautiful world all around them, and I'm not going to let them touch any of it." That's not God. No, he created us for pleasure, to design, to experience pleasure. He designed us to desire success, to desire and need some sense of community, some sense of connectedness in our worlds. We were made for that. And yet, what we find so often is if you think about the pleasures that you pursue, if you think about the things that we go after so often, what we may find to be true is that some of the things that we go after actually are so beneath what God would have in store for us. Some of the things that we go after might reveal that we misunderstand or forget what God has in store. C.S. Lewis wrote these words. He said, "Indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea, we are far too easily pleased." How true can that be? Solomon, the preacher, pulls back long enough to say, here's the conclusion that I've come to. I'm choosing to invite God into this conversation that I've been in as I've been pursuing pleasure. Solomon allows us to join him long enough, and as he sees these things take place, we get to sit in his disillusionment. And as we experience that with him, we come to face reality. Solomon comes to this reality as this: Pleasures in and of themselves, they do not satisfy. If we are looking for the truth of a source of life to bring and satisfy us, it's not found in those things. We need a different source. You see, Jesus found himself preaching, teaching to these people, 5,000 plus of them one day. And as he was with them, he saw that it was getting late in the day, and he had compassion on them, and he fed them. You may know the story that there was a boy with 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Jesus blessed it and fed all the people that were there. And afterwards, the people, they saw this amazing miracle that took place with the bread and with the fish, and they said, we need to make this guy king. Jesus recognized this was going to take place, and so he took off to a mountain to be with his father. The disciples went and crossed the water, and Jesus joins them the next day. And as he does, the people that had this amazing miracle take place, they saw that Jesus was no longer there, and they saw that the boat was gone, and so they hopped on, and they moved across the sea, and they tracked down Jesus. And as they did, they found him, and they were looking for more of that bread, more of those miracles to take place. And Jesus finds himself in a conversation with these people and a discourse about the bread and about God and about how God is the provider of that bread. Jesus said that for the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And the people's response is, if that's the case, then give us that bread every day. We want that. And listen to Jesus' response. He replied, I am that bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty again. You see, the true joy that we're looking for is found in no one else but Jesus. Jesus is a source of true pleasure. When we talk about true pleasure, I just want you to think about this for a moment. What better pleasure is there than to be in a spot to recognize that in the midst of our depravity, in the midst of our sin, in the midst of being exposed for who we are, there's a God who says, I see you, I love you, and I still choose to pursue you. What better pleasure is there than that? Jesus says that pleasure is found when we find ourselves coming under him in obedience, finding ourselves in relationship with him and allowing him to be the one to satisfy all of our desires. I love this. David writes these words in Psalm chapter 16. He says, you will show me the way of life. Grant to me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. He is the one that provides that. You know, just imagine, I mean, what would it be like in our world? Can you imagine your life to be in a spot that you would be free from having to pursue pleasure as a sole source? And what would it be like to have your heart at rest? What would it be like to be able to enjoy pleasures without having this guilty conscience for what it is that you just indulged in? How awesome would that be? What would it be like to be in a place to be truly satisfied? Jesus is the one who says, I can provide that. That's his heart. That's his desire for us. And I want to say this morning, if you find yourself in a place as you come in and you hear me talking about the pursuits of pleasure that you may find yourself in, and there's a sense of guilt, a sense of shame as you hear me talk about that, I want you to hear this. Jesus died for that. Jesus died so that you didn't have to stay in that same place. That the very guilt, the very shame that you're experiencing right now, Jesus said, I went to the cross, I became sin, so that you no longer have to be stuck in that place. All you have to do is come to me. Receive my life, receive my redemption, receive all that I am, and I will be the one that restores you. I have made a way that you can come home and no longer have to be stuck in this pursuit of pleasure. You see, if you don't hear anything else this morning, It has been my heart, and I believe it's God's heart for us, is that we would learn to please God by treating the life-giving pleasures of this life as a gift, to see them as a gift from Him. Would you stand with me this morning? We've seen Solomon go on this quest. We've seen him pursue. We've seen him go after this with everything that he has. And his conclusion is that it's meaningless. There is a need for something else in our lives, a need for something else in our world. You know, I think about our lives, and maybe you're here this morning and you found your life as one that just, you're continually pursuing stuff. You just always need the next thing, that next thing. And if you just have that, then maybe you've arrived. And you're coming to realize that that's just not working out. I wonder for some of us this morning as you come into this place that maybe you've sought life. You sought going after things. You've wanted joy. And yet in your pursuit, what we find is that it continues to be a momentary sense of pleasure. And so you continue to go after it. But you continue to come up dry. You know, I wonder if some of us in this place that in our pursuit of righteousness, we found ourselves swinging more towards being like the legalists, like the Pharisees. That in all of our good intentions, we find ourselves measuring ourselves up to others. And in our hearts, we've put up the measurement to say, look, I'm better than them. At least I'm not doing what it is they're doing. And in our own way, we found ourselves being puffed up with pride. Wherever we may find ourselves this morning, Jesus' heart, Jesus' words is, I am the bread of life. Would you come after me? Would you take of me? Would you eat of me? Would you drink of me? Because when you come to me, then you experience the satisfaction that you've been longing for. You're able to live a life of humility. You're able to live a life in which you don't have to pursue stuff to find meaning and purpose, but you can find it in me. If you find yourself in this place this morning, I want to pray for you. So let's take a moment and pray. Holy Spirit, we come before you this morning, listening to you speak to us about the way our lives are ordered. And we thank you for the ways in which you have given us the desire to experience pleasure, the desire to have some sense of satisfaction. And as we come in contact with the preacher this morning, we recognize once again that true satisfaction is found in you, and you alone. And so we come before you with the things of our hearts, the things of our lives that we have found ourselves pursuing pleasure in, the things that we have tried to make a source of life. And as you speak to us about them, as you shine a light in our hearts and show us those things, we lay them at the foot of the cross. We place them before you. And we give you thanks that as we lay them there, you don't simply look at us and say, what is wrong with you? But you extend your hand in an exchange to offer beauty, to offer satisfaction, to offer exactly what it is that we need in these moments. And so, Jesus, I ask that you would do that all around this room as we offer our lives to you. Would you restore? Would you redeem? Would you place inside of us a way of living, a heart change that would say yes to you and you alone? And I pray for my friends, specifically in this place this morning, who have pursued life, who have pursued all kinds of pleasures. That has been the hallmark of our lives. And it's run us down roads where we come up to a dead end. And Jesus, we're in a spot where we're saying we surrender our lives to you. Would you come and be my Lord and my Savior? Would you be my God? I'm done trying to find life in other places. I choose to turn to you. Come into my heart. Make me clean. Make me new. I choose you to be satisfied by you and you alone. I choose to trust you with all of my life. That is our heart's cry this morning. We give you thanks, Jesus, for how you choose to move in our midst. I pray, Jesus, that as we continue to live out this life, may it not just be something that's happening in this moment, but would you speak to us day in and day out that we would find value and meaning in you. I ask this in your precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, may it be so. And you may be seated as we continue in our gathering.
Today we honor the memory of those who gave their life. Can we give them a hand today? Thank you. While you remain standing today, are there any family members who have family that gave and sacrificed their life? Would you just raise your hand wherever you are? All right. You have family members. So just keep your hands up. Will you do that, please? And keep them up there. We just want to say thank you. Let's give these a hand, shall we? You keep your hands up. Will you do that?
We do want to give thanks for the people who have sacrificed their life that we could be free. As we prepare to go this morning, I want to offer the blessing that we read earlier in Psalm chapter 16, and may this be true for you. May you receive this. May God show you the way of life, granting you the joy of his presence and the pleasures of living with him forever. May it be true for you this week as you live out your life, as you find yourself pursuing pleasure, may you see it in light of who God is in your life. Blessings on you. We'll see you next week.
morning. We welcome you to Gateway at 10:30. Let's stand together.
Of him.
I want to see your eyes living again, singing as one, hallelujah, holy, holy, God Almighty, the great I am, who is worthy, none beside thee, God Almighty, the great I am. The great I am, great I am, great I am. The mountains shake before him, the demons run and flee. At the mention of your name, King of Majesty, there is no power in hell, nor any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am, great I am, great I am. Shake before him, the demons run and flee. At the mention of your name, King of Majesty, there is no power in hell, nor any who can stand before the power and the presence of great I am. Great
beside thee, God.
God Almighty, the great I am.
I don't know if you've ever stopped and thought of this or not, but can you imagine where we'd be if we lived with the idea that we serve a God who just doesn't hear us? Can you imagine what life would be like? Who do we lift our needs to? Who would we go to? In Psalm 143, the psalmist just writes these words: "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my plea. Answer me because you are faithful and righteous." And so that's what we're going to do today, with the confidence, knowing that when we come together like this, he hears us, doesn't he? Yeah, go like that. Yeah, he hears us. And so I'm just going to invite us to do something this morning. For some of us, it will be more comfortable than others. I'm not going to have you do anything weird. I'm just going to ask us to put our hands out like that in just a few moments. I remember the first time I did that, I felt really weird. In fact, I kind of hid away by myself because it felt odd to me. But I'm just going to invite you to join me, and maybe it'll be like that. That's okay. That's all right. Or maybe just one hand or two hands. And you're watching online, you're in your home or a motel, you're traveling today. I'm going to invite you also to do the very, very thing as we just receive from the Lord today. So what did you come in need of, or maybe for someone? So we have need for healing. So we're going to reach out and take hold of healing. Or we have need for encouragement. Maybe we're really discouraged this morning. Or maybe we just feel hopeless, and so we're going to reach out for hope today. So we're all going to close our eyes. No one knows that you're doing it, so let's just do that. Let's lift our hands out, shall we, Father? We thank you that you hear us. Your word just declares that to be true, and we believe that it's true. We know it's true. We serve a God who hears our plea today, and we come before you. God, there are so many of us in this auditorium and online this morning. We're holding our hands out to you. We need you. We acknowledge you're the God who provides all of our needs today. And even in our confusion and even in our great need today, even in those moments when we're not really sure that our prayers go above the ceilings, God, we know that you hear us and we proclaim that. Your word says you're faithful and true. And so we put our hands out to you. And this morning, God, we just receive healing. There are people here today. There are those of us who need physical healing this morning, or we're praying for someone today. And God, we just ask that you would minister your healing touch to them. We believe in that. We believe in you, Jesus. There are some of us today, we feel like we're in a hopeless state. Relationships are hopeless. We feel stuck in life. And so we're reaching out to you and asking, Father, that you'll come alongside us and the way that only you can, your Holy Spirit, and just minister hope to us and healing to us in our relationships and in that state of confusion that maybe we find ourselves in today. God, some of us are lifting up our kids and our students and family members who are away today and maybe even traveling, or we're sitting in our home today and we're reaching out to you and in a motel room today. So, Father, we plead with you and we give ourselves to you again today, but we do so in full confidence that you hear and that you understand. And God, you will respond in to our pleas today. God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
All right, let's put our hands together. We've got a new song to teach you today. It's very easy. Come on, let's turn it up. We're gonna sing it out for all the world to hear. Oh, 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 oh. There's love for everyone. A new day has begun. Something to shout about. Let it be known that our God saves. Our God saves. We lift you up, up. Let it be known that love has come. Love has won. Nothing can stop us now. No one can keep us down. We found our voice again. Oh, oh, oh. No need for fear and shame. There's power in His name. Come on, let freedom reign. Our God saves, our God reigns. We lift you up. to sing it out. Here we go. We lift your name up higher and higher. We lift your name up. We lift your name up louder and louder. We shout it out now. We lift your name up higher and higher. Just the drums. Let it be known that our God saves, our God reigns. We lift your name up. Let it be known that love has come, love has won. We lift you up, up. Let it be known that our God saves, our God reigns. We lift you up, up. Let it be known that love has come.
Hey, brand new song today, so you learned something new, didn't you? Yeah, yeah. So we'll be greeting one another in just a few moments, but if you're brand new with us, say thanks for coming in. Maybe you're in for the holidays and you chose to worship with us, say thanks so much for doing that, and we really, really welcome, again, welcome everyone online today. While you greet, on the seat somewhere near you, you're going to find this Gateway Paulsville app little flyer, and so I just encourage you to get that. We launched that last week, and many of you downloaded the app, and you're going to find everything you need to know about Gateway right there on that app. So I encourage you to do that. Our program is on there. Live is on there. How to contact staff. Everything is there. So encourage you to get that for iOS and Android and tablets as well. If you're here with us, you can fill out your newcomer card in two ways. On the app, you'll find it there under This Week Connect Card. Well, there's one like this in front of you, so I encourage you to take that. Drop it in the offering bucket in just a little bit. Also, if you know of someone who has need, maybe a prayer need, or they're in the hospital, they'd like for someone to drop by, you will only help us if you let us know that. And so if you could use that card for that or online as well, really, really thank you. So let's just kind of mix it up and find someone you've not yet met or you need to reintroduce yourself. You just can't remember their name. Let's do that, shall we? All right. So how many met someone new? Let's see, raise your hand. You met someone new you've never met before, all right? Great. It's great to have you. In just a few moments, our host team is going to come forward. and we're going to receive our tithe and our offerings. Now, if you've been a part of Gateway for any length of time, you heard me say this, you know, I don't ask you to do something that Jen and I don't do ourselves. We tithe and we give offerings, and so I hear something. Did you hear that? Or was it just me? Oh, I hear a sorry from somewhere. Lord? No, okay. Anyway, tithe and offerings, and the host team's going to come forward. I just thank you for your giving. I believe that giving is something that every follower of Jesus should be involved in. We believe that. It's an act of worship, and because you give, we're able to reach out into our community and into the world today, and so thank you so much. Paul just writes these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, so we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place. We return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry of giving. He calls it a ministry. So as we give today, we're involved in the ministry of our Lord. And then he goes on to talk about Jesus and his love for us. And he who was rich gave so much, he gave his life to us. And now we're called to participate in giving as well, so that others can hear of this great good news that we share today if you're a follower of Jesus. So the team's coming forward right now, and so we're going to pause and give prayer. And I just invite us, as we do, let's do so in thanks, shall we, for all the needs that he has met. And at the same time, let's lift up our needs to him too. Father, we thank you today for how you meet each and every need. God, your word just says you know of our needs even before we're even aware. So God, we thank you for that. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of what you're doing in the world here locally, meeting so many needs, and then around the world today where you have called us to be. We thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, because it is a ministry that we're involved in when we give. We love you, and we present our own needs to you, and thank you for how you meet each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Lots going on.
Hey there, I'm Shelley, and here are details about some upcoming events. Here at Gateway, we love your kids. They're important to you, to us, and to God. So we want to do all we can to keep them safe, like training our volunteers and launching a brand new check-in system on Sunday, June 7th.
Yeah, and we're really excited about the new check-in system for Gateway Kids. They're fast and convenient and secure, and you may have noticed the new kiosk in the lobby, actually right here behind me. And so there's self-check-in systems that families can use, check into the nursery, the preschool, Gateway Kids, and groups on Sundays.
Families can easily check their kids in by entering their phone number or by scanning their Q-tag. With just a few touches of the screen, all of their kids can be checked into their classes or groups. Family members will be able to use the print parent tags to pick up their children at the end of the service.
Yeah, then another new thing, now I just love it, you're going to notice the new look of Gateway Kids. It has a great Northwest theme. You'll see the beautiful murals like behind me here at the check-in stations and the kids wing and the new group names and on every logo. So it's really neat.
Yeah, that's right. To go along with this new Northwest theme, our nursery, ages 0 to 2, is now called The Meadow. Our preschool, 3 years to kindergarten, is The Woodlands, and our elementary program is called The Summit.
Yeah, so Meadow, Woodlands, Summit, it's all there, Northwest theme. So thank you all who make our children's ministry happen every week. Man, we truly love the kids at Gateway and the families at Gateway. And so just a huge shout out to everyone who's making that happen. Thanks much.
Vacation Bible School is just around the corner, and registration has begun for children entering first through sixth grades in the fall 2015. Registration is just $10 through May 31st for a full week of adventure and fun. We also need lots of volunteers to make this week happen. To register your child or sign up to help, come visit us at the kiosk in the lobby.
Registration is open for our third annual Young Adults and Families Campout. We'll be at Dosey Wallop State Park in the group campsite, enjoying the outdoors and making new friends. So what's there to do? Hiking, beach combing, bike trails, nature walks, field games, and many other family activities for all ages. Go to Gateway's Facebook page for more information and to sign up. Bring your friends and your kids' friends. Dove Award-winning, Grammy-nominated Point of Grace will make an extremely rare appearance at Gateway Fellowship on Saturday, August 22nd. During their celebrated career, Point of Grace has sold 7 million albums and enjoyed 27 number one songs in the contemporary Christian music genre. Please join us for what promises to be an exceptional night of music and ministry. This concert will sell out. Please purchase your tickets now in either the church office or online at gatewayfellowship.com/events. Golden Circle tickets are $25. General admission advance tickets are $20. As always, 100% of the net proceeds from this special evening will be used to help our community. Make plans to join us and bring a friend for what promises to be an exceptional night of music and ministry.
Everyone is welcome to join us in the Munger Chapel for a time emphasizing the presence and gifts of the Holy Spirit. The emphasis will be allowing the Holy Spirit to move as He wills. Contact Dick Tangen for more details.
You can check the Gateway website and app for other upcoming events and details. Thanks for choosing to join us today. Have a great week.
Well, good morning. How are we? Good. Good, good. That's good. Well, I want to say thanks so much for being here this morning. You know, my name is Mario. I'm one of the teaching pastors here, and it's just an honor to be able to be with you. You know, I don't know if you know this, but by now, I'm supposed to have a mansion and a yacht. Did you know that? I mean, you might wonder, like, what are you talking about? Well, yeah. You see, in sixth grade, my teacher asked me, well, what's life going to be like 20 years from now? And so, of course, I answered that. We took out